He's made the cut in 5 straight U.S. Opens. He actually finished T13 in last year's Open. And interestingly enough, for those that don't know or don't follow every day, he just married his girlfriend, who's also his cabbie. So, I mean,
In Vegas.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'm sold. I'm sold. I mean, the number was good, but the girlfriend bit and she caddies for him.
In Vegas, Dangles.
In Vegas, I'm absolutely trailing that.
How do you know that?
5 simple words,
that's impossible,
Mr. Michaels,
to know.
Back up the Brinks truck.
Who you betting on? Always on black, fast stacks in the pocket, whole squad, fast cash. Send the bookie, tell him bring it from the bag. No, we coming for the bag. West Coast, gang.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's get ready to gamble! No, the voice you are hearing is not Tony Squares. Yes, it is Schaefer the Sharp. Tony Squares has been fired from the show. We regret to inform you. He's never coming back.
We had a conversation and we just determined that he was too square for this podcast, so we've thrown him off.
Yeah, the Friday Five was just too much for us to handle, so Dangles, it's me and you from here on in. You know, what do we think here? What do we think?
That sounds good. The sharp and the dull. What could possibly go wrong?
Exactly. No, in all seriousness, Tony Squares is on assignment in San Diego. He's actually testing the density of the rough.
We sent him to Torrey Pines. Yeah. We sent him to Torrey Pines to beautiful La Jolla along the majestic Pacific Ocean, where we will have the 2021 U.S. Open this weekend. John Rahm, the favorite going in after being told he had COVID in the third round of the Memorial tournament, but he says he's back and he's better than ever. And we wanted to get a really close-up read on the greens and find out how the fairways are playing. Yep. So we sent Tony with a bag of golf clubs to sneak onto the golf course at night and clandestinely play a round of 18 and report back to us.
Absolutely. And we are still waiting for that report with bated breath. I'm sure it's coming soon. But hey, we have an amazing, amazing guest lined up. Diamond Dave Esler himself from pregame.com. You can find him at @Dave_Esler. That's @Dave_ESSLER. A sharper than sharp golf expert. We have him on the show. Our interview with Diamond Dave Esler is coming up next.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Sports stars. They're like superheroes.
But they're actually real.
Which is why we've made a podcast about them. You see,
they've all got a story.
But too many of these stories were cut short.
Kobe Bryant.
Payne Stewart.
Flo Jo.
Phil Hughes.
Justin Fashanu.
We're writing episodes about all of them.
And sadly, many more.
Death of a Sports Star. A new series from Crowd Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, our next guest is calling in from Florida, a fellow Pats fan, so Dangles already is tailing all his bets for max units. He's been a constant contributor for pregame.com for many years. He was once accused of being Billy Bigelow. His golf picks are sharp. We're not sure about his game. Please welcome to the show, Diamond Dave Esler. Welcome to the show, my man.
Hey, great to be here. My golf game isn't bad for an old man, I must say.
So, Diamond Dave, my first question. I hear you talk about your game a lot. I I'm a golfer myself. I want you to handicap your own golf game right now. What are you? Are you a premium ball striker? Are you a scramble guy? Do you keep it straight off the tee? How would you assess your own golf game? I'm so curious.
Good question. Erratic. I'm a reasonably good ball striker. Very good off the tee and very good around the greens. But occasionally I get a little bit overconfident on my approach shots and aim for pins that I probably should not.
Very good. This is coming from a person yesterday who literally shot a 37-47. Couldn't be more different on the sides, but that's the game. That's why we're here. We keep chasing it. But we are here today to talk of our nation's Open, Diamond Dave, the United States Open being held at Torrey Pines in beautiful Southern California. And so happy that you could join us. Been following your golf picks for some time now, and you are sharper than sharp. I know Dangles is going to glean some information on you.
Absolutely.
How are we feeling about this week's tournament? Just a general overview of potentially the course and what we're looking for in some players here.
Well, I don't think we're going to see anything different than any other U.S. Open course. I mean, you know the rough's going to be thick. So I think you want to look at at good ball strikers, you know, greens in regulation. Guys are keeping it in the short grass, but you know they're not going to always keep it in the short grass. So, I mean, you know, case in point, that's why Bryson did what he did last U.S. Open, because he was able to muscle the ball out of that 6-inch rough and onto the green. And I think you're going to either want to look at guys that are great off the tee or strong guys, like say maybe a Brooks Koepka.
So Diamond Dave, I'm familiar with how you like to run your bets with Sleepy, some make miss the cut, some top 40s, some top 30s. But my personal favorite, which I got to give you the most kudos for, you have a tendency to hit a fair amount of your first round leader bets. So who do you have any guys circled this week? I know typically you prefer the morning golfers because they can get out early before the course has been kind of a run through. You have any guys in mind for first round leader bets?
Yeah, I do. And I actually wrote these bets down before I saw the tee times. And I believe all these guys are going off early. Jason Cochrack, 50-1 first round leader. I like that far better than taking him 60-1. You know, as we just said, here's another great putter, which is something I'll never shy away from. And look what he's done recently. His first round at the Charles Schwab, which he won, was a 65. Opened with a 67 at Valspar, 65 in New Orleans. If you want to go all the way back to Hawaii, he opened it with a Sony with a 62. So, I mean, how do you not? The guy's got the talent. Abraham Answer, you know, look at his last 9 stroke play events. He finished no worse than 26th. That was at Augusta, second at the Wells Fargo, tier at the PGA. His last 2 stroke play rounds were at the Charles Schwab, where he shot back-to-back 67. He's made the cut in the last 4 majors with 1 top 10, so I don't think he's in over his head here. I do worry that he hasn't won on tour, so Sunday could be a challenge, but again, that's why I'm going to go with the first round leader. I mean, he's 12th, he's third, I believe, in driving accuracy, 12th in greens and regulations, and an above average putter, so how can you not? And here's a guy that everybody knows now, but nobody heard of 2 weeks, is Garrett Higgo. He's 66-1. You know, my man, I had him to make the cut in his first PGA event before anybody knew who he was. And sadly, played him only to make the cut last week. So that was a big sigh there. I was kind of not happy with myself. But, you know, I think if it were 6 months from now, I would be less inclined to make this bet just because of the possible expectations. I think right now he's still in that sort of laissez-faire attitude with nothing to lose. You know, yes, he's going to have a whole lot more press, but you know, he can shoot 80 and everybody will be happy. So at 66-1, I just had to. I mean, why would you not? And my boy Brian Harman, 80-1 first round leader. I bet him most every tournament. He's right up there. I can't not. I don't think he can win because he doesn't have a lot of length. I don't think he can sustain himself. But he was T2 at a U.S. Open, and he was T12 at Augusta. He's made the cut 18 to 20 events this season. He's always starts well. He's been in the 60s 5 of his last 6 starts in the first round. So that would be the 4 guys I'm going to sort of circle. And, you know, as you know, or maybe don't, I don't use a lot of the chalky guys as the first round leader. I mean, not too often does a guy like Bryson or Rahm or whatever go out and shoot 63 on the first round. I think that's part, in fact, that, you know, they don't want to waste themselves in 18 holes knowing they're going to play 72. Sure. So, you know, and the value's not there. I mean, you know, it's what, 12-1? Not that I wouldn't like to win a 12-1 bet, but I think the return is better on these guys that have a little bit higher payout because, you know, we're betting $5 or $10 or $50, not a dime.
Dave, I know Dangles wants to ask you something, but before he does, I got to jump ahead of you. So I'm listening to the Betting Predators, Sleepy J, Uncle Dave Essler's on there. He gives out Garrett Higgo. I never heard of the guy. The first time I heard him was out of your mouth. I'm looking at my app. I see -167 to take the cut. I put it on my DraftKings. Cash ticket. Diamond Dave making me money. Boys and girls, follow him at Dave_Essler. Garrett Higgo. And then what did he do last week? He won. That was a guy that I wanted to ask you about specifically. I mean, I don't care if you're playing in these tiny European tournaments at the Canary Islands. The dude's won 3 out of his 6 last stroke play tournaments. He's got to be a factor this weekend, you would think, if he can make it to the weekend.
Well, I should say. Yeah, you would think. And I mean, you know, I think because he's never been in a major and this is only his 3rd U.S. event, I mean, yeah, there's more fans and more press. But to him, I think at this point, it's just another golf tournament. You know, and the kid at the Canary Islands, that last tournament before he flew over here, I think he shot in one tournament, like a 62 and a 63. So, I mean, we knew the kid had game coming over here, but, you know, I just really like him as a first round leader. And, you know, hell, if he won, it probably wouldn't even surprise me at this point. But I just think he's still in La La Land just playing golf. And as I said earlier, I think in 6 months or 2 months or whatever, you know, the expectations will be high, or he's regressed because he can't continue that. And he starts pressing a little bit right now. I mean, I think he can just let all his big muscles relax and hit the ball.
Dave, I'm sort of the newer better on the show, but I do find that when we're doing golf, we do a lot of golf because Schaefer the Sand Trap over here loves to bet him some golf. So I'm curious, you know, I feel like I find there is good value in make miss cuts bets. Is there anything you got on your ticket for make miss cuts that our listeners should know about?
One of the reasons I don't play a lot of them is the bigger names that you kind of figure to miss the cut are minus 300, minus 400, and that's a crapshoot. I'm not going to lay that price, especially at a U.S. Open, how easy it is for somebody to shoot 80 that didn't normally shoot 80. And to miss the cut, you know, the hold on those bets is a lot. To miss the cut, if it's minus 400 to make, it's like plus 220 to miss. So the books have this like huge hold. If it was like plus 350 or 320, like you might think, I might be a little more inclined to try to pick a elite guy and say, you know, I just think he's due to, for whatever reason, miss. So I do find some value in some of the middle of the road guys. And one of the guys this week I found that, you know, didn't have to lay a whole lot of juice is Lee Westwood, minus 125 to make the cut. You know, this is a guy that's played in so many majors, it's not even funny. He's made the cut in five straight U.S. Opens. He actually finished T13 in last year's Open. And interestingly enough, for those that don't know or don't follow every day, he just married his girlfriend, who's also his caddy. So, I mean,
In Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm sold. I'm sold. I'm trailing. You know, I'm sold. I mean, the number was good, but the girlfriend bit and she caddies for him. In Vegas. I'm absolutely trailing.
Well, you have to think that he really doesn't care. I mean, talk about a guy that can just go out there and play loose, but talk about a guy that is not going to get rattled by much of anything right now. And that certainly has the talent to, you know, stay at or near par for 2 days or even plus three and make the cut. I think that's a valuable one. And, you know, I was talking to Sleepy earlier today, and he told me to pass on to you guys hello from him. And he told me to pass on his bet, Sam Burns to miss the cut.
I like hearing from Sleepy. He's a friend of the show. Love that. I wanted to actually pivot off Lee Westwood real quick, talk about a fellow Ryder Cup teammate of his, Sergio Garcia. I had this one circled, Diamond Dave, plus 132, missed the cut. He has been an epic disaster in majors of late. I can see, and he gains the most strokes off the tee, which I don't think is going to be the most important statistic this week. The thing about Sergio is he gets in his head so quickly. I can see him making a big number early and maybe just kind of mail it in. What do you think about a little Sergio Garcia missed cut bet at plus 130?
I like it, and I like it a lot. And I will pile on that, the fact that, and I do not know the exact number, and it may even be zero times that he has played at Torrey Pines. If it's more than zero, it's not many more. So you got that going for you too. So yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with you there, Todd.
Love that. We want to get in some top 30s, some top 20s, and some outrights. But the one thing I want to ask before we get into that, Diamond Dave, is, look, I mean, Phil Mickelson, you know, it might be one of the greatest stories in American sports if he could ever possibly complete the career Grand Slam in his backyard of San Diego and just be, if he wasn't on Mount Rushmore Golf before, he's there if he were to do it. However, I mean, you could have got this guy at 250-1 before the PGA. Now his odds have completely inflated. I know you well enough to know that you're probably not going to touch him with a 10-foot pole with any kind of value. But what do you think his prospects are this week? He seems to be super locked in. Now, he hasn't performed well at Torrey since the facelift of the course in 2001. But what do you feel about his chances of even contain this week. I kind of feel it's going to be feast or famine with him. He might get out earlier. He might just actually take a dive. What's your gut say about Lefty this weekend?
You know, my gut says you're probably right in that he may not contend / compete. You know, my heart says, boy, wouldn't that be really cool?
It'd be awesome.
But, you know, you're also right that, you know, if I didn't bet it at 250, why would I bet it now? Now, you know, there's the other thing you could do. And I happen to know for a fact that Sleepy did this. You know, he put 10 bucks on him or whatever, or, you know, 50 or, you know, a small amount. Because, you know, let's just say he does win and it becomes, you know, the Mount Rushmore, as you say, or whatever it might be. Do you want to be that guy that didn't have that ticket?
Yeah. No, you know? You're right. You just got to root for him. I mean,
I think if I were going to bet him for real, if I was going to use real money, I would probably take him as like a first round leader because, you know, I've done that a few times when he's come back from the senior tour and played in the big boy tournaments because, you know, I just didn't feel like at his age, and I know he's in better shape probably now than he was 10 years ago, but he's, you know, 51, I believe, and he's competing against guys less than half his age in considerably better shape. So, you know, 72 holes over a 4-day period, you know, I just didn't think he could do it. And I didn't think he could do it 2 weeks ago, but he did, or 3 weeks ago. But, you know, that's my heart talking, saying it would be cool. My head says, I just don't see it.
I tend to agree with everything that you just said there, Diamond Dave. And I know me and Dangles would like nothing more than to see him compete on a Sunday, but it'd be the greatest. I heard this. I'll kick this to you, Dangles. If he were to do this weekend, would it be a bigger story than the 2019 Masters that Tiger Woods won?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know because
Diamond Dave is shaking his head. Yes, I agree with Diamond Dave.
I don't know, man. Like, because Phil's a big deal, but Tiger's Tiger, and everyone had written him off and said, "No, he's not going to win again." And Phil, I mean, Phil just won another one, but I mean, man, I don't know. Dave's shaking his head or shaking his head. Yes,
you know, I'll tell you why I think yes, because you know, after Tiger had his episodes, plural, whichever one you want to point to, you know, I think he lost a lot of fans, for lack of a better way to put it.
Absolutely.
And Phil has done nothing but gain fans. So I think, I don't know how the media would play it, but I think those of us that are just onlookers, it would be a bigger deal to me because I think everybody likes Phil Mickelson. And I know not everybody likes Tiger Woods.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. So let's hope we get some Father's Day magic for Phil. I'd definitely be rooting for him. But like I said, maybe a first round leader bet. Diamond Dave, we don't want to keep it too much longer. But as Sleepy J would say, I'm going to let you rip and run with a couple of your top 30, top 20s, top 10. I got my pen and paper here. Why don't you just go for it, man? Give us some winners.
I'll do my best. Scottie Scheffler. You know, the obvious knock on him is he doesn't have a tour win yet. So I think taking him to win and asking him to get his first PGA win in a major, I think might be a stretch. You know, I know Danny Willett did it. I know Schwartzel did it. So it's not a precedent, but it's the U.S. Open. You know, and Scheffler, though, for not having won, is a 17th ranked golfer in the world. Great driver of the ball. He doesn't do anything exceptionally well, but doesn't have any holes either. So I did bet him -120. Top 30. I thought that seemed pretty solid. My boy Xander. I love good putters, guys that don't miss greens. Xander's ninth in shots gained putting, 11th in greens in regulation, and he's finished no worse than sixth in four U.S. Opens. So I believe at 15-1, I'm not sure how much value there is for me to pick him to win. So I'm going to wait, see if I get better odds after the first or second round, you know, provided he is where I would hope he'd be. But I don't know how you can't bet him at least +160 top 10. Corey Connors, Corey Connors is a guy that, you know, got all the talent in the world. He had his sort of, you know, a moment in the sun there in March and April, but I think people have forgotten about him, but he does already have a win and no less than seven top 10s this season. You know, with that said, there's another guy. He's seventh in shots gained off the tee, an above average putter. You know, his kryptonite is around the greens, but he is eighth in greens in regulation. So, you know, don't miss him. You know, the downside here is he's missed a cut in the last three U.S. Opens. You know, the upside is this year's Masters was a T10 and this year's PGA was a T17. So I can't go full Monty, but top 30 for a plus 140. I mean, that seems automatic to me. Matthew Fitzpatrick, you know, his knock, he hasn't won either, but keeps the ball in the fairway. 14th in shots gained total. You know, his Achilles heel is approach shots, where he's like 117th, which could be costly in an open with sizable penalties for relatively minor miscues. So I think 50-1 for him to win is about right. I don't think he's a horse for the course, but as the 21st ranked golfer in the world, I had to find room for him somewhere. Had a great weekend in South Carolina. We cashed a top 10 with him last week. I'm going to put him top 20 at plus 160. I think it's probably even money at top one. I'm going to play him. Let me rethink this. I'm going to play him top 30 at even money. And I think you can get him top 20 at plus 160. You know, I'm not greedy. If I can win a bet, even money or plus 100 or both. Patrick Reed, a guy I talked about earlier. He's won a major. And since 2018, he's missed just two cuts in majors. And the U.S. Open isn't one of them. In fact, his lowest major finish, I think, was a T32 in 2019 at the U.S. Open. So he was fourth at this tournament 3 years ago, 13th 2 years ago, which would actually be 1 year ago. Arguably the best putter on tour, seventh in shots gained total. So we got to use him somewhere. 25-1 to win has some merit, but I think 33-1 first round leader better. And if he's a few shots off, again, maybe a better win price, but top 20, I believe you can find him at even money. So I don't know how you don't do that either.
Well, I love the Shoffley bet. I have Xander on my ticket as well. I'm excited to share that bet later. But I did want to ask, Drew and I were talking about this before before the show. Is Tony Finau ever going to win? Is he ever going to? I feel like every time I go looking around and I'm like poking around on Twitter and seeing who's betting what and looking at some of these articles and seeing what you know, some of these so-called sharps that are in the media say they think are going to win. And I see him on just about every ticket I look at. And I always want to bet him, but I feel like he just can't make it happen down the stretch. Is this guy ever going to pull it off?
Well, yeah, eventually he will for sure. You know that. But, you know, I kind of look at Tony and a little bit of sort of history today, and I'm glad you brought that up. You know, he's obviously got the talent, but he's actually moved to shorter odds than Justin Thomas this afternoon in this tournament. So there are people that are betting money. And, you know, funny thing is, I look at betting Tony Finau to win like I look at betting Mickelson to win. If Finau wins, do you want to be the guy that didn't have that ticket?
Yeah,
after betting him like 15 times over the last year.
Exactly. So, you know, I don't know. I didn't. I can. I'll probably use him somewhere before it's all said and done. But again, I think that's me really just being, do I want to be that guy that kicked myself in the ass for, as Drew said, betting him,
which is a
perfect
five
out of six, you know. But, you know, there's your $10 bet. Okay. I had a ticket on Finau to win at, 25-1, whatever it is. I probably wouldn't cash it. I'd probably take a screenshot and pin it to my Twitter account. There. Done
max
with that.
Units. Max units.
Yeah, I never have to deal with it again.
People,
that's right.
People black out the ticket number. I'll black out the dollars.
You've been amazing, man. We can't thank you enough. Before we let you go, I know you got a couple. I know you got a couple guys circled that you think is going to hoist the trophy late night in East Coast time on Sunday, on Father's Day. Who do you think is going to be putting the trophy over their head and giving that thing a smooch?
You know, that's always so tough. But you know, if I got to pick a favorite, I'm picking Brooks. You know, I think his missed cut last week is something I'll take as a positive.
Wow. Same.
What do you mean? Wow. I know this. Is he a
no? Wow, in a good way. No, I'm not surprised. No, wow, in a good way. Just because, like, I think Brooks is primed to do well. Absolutely, especially with everything that's going on.
Yeah, I mean that whole thing with him and Bryson. And I did read today where the PGA asked. Let me put it this way: I don't know who asked, but Bryson declined to play Thursday and Friday with Koepka. So apparently the PGA asked them too. And I didn't, all I could do is conclude from that they asked them both and Koepka said, whatever. And Bryson said, no. So that's another reason I really hope Bryson misses the cut needless to say. But, you know, Koepka's won this thing twice. He's finished second once. I mean, you know, look at his shots gained in most every category. He's in the top 20. He doesn't have any weaknesses. He was second at the U.S. Open in Torrey Pines. So, you know, he knows this place. And he's the fifth favorite, which is shocking. So at 19-1, when I bet him, I absolutely had to. Another guy I bet a lot, and, you know, he kind of kills me or makes me a lot of money. He may kill me this week because he's an East Coast boy. But Webb Simpson, you know, he's made the cut in his last four majors, two top tens, 13th in greens in regulation, 13th shots gained putting, 10th shots gained around the green, 7th in driving accuracy, 4th in scoring average, and 5th in sand saves. I mean, that's pretty impressive. He's won the U.S. Open. So he has everything to win it. You know, I guess this was one of those, how do you not use him somewhere? You know, and how is a guy that's the 8th ranked golfer in the world and was 8th at Wingfoot last fall, how is he 25-1? I'll take that. And another one that I think the first guy I said I was going to bet on was Colin Morikawa. 25-1. And that's actually been climbing a little bit. I think he opened at 20-1. You know, but he's the 4th ranked golfer in the world with 4 PGA wins, including a major. So I think this line is really a reflection of recency bias, because I think the last thing everyone saw is him losing to Cantlay in that playoff. But if you look further, you know, he's 8th in shots gained total, 1st in shots gained on approach. I know the big weakness is his putting game. You know, you can't deny that. But he grew up in L.A., played golf at Stanford. He knows these California greens. So if there are any greens he should know, this would be one of them. So, you know, I'm going to say he putts pretty well. And I think what's interesting, you know, when I went through everything else, you know, guys I didn't even mention as people that I have bet on. You know, I mean, this is a U.S. Open. I didn't use Rahm. I didn't use Bryson, Thomas, Spieth, Johnson, Rory, Fowler, Paul Casey, Hovland, Neiman, and Matt's boy, Tony Finau. I mean, any one of those guys could win. And I'll probably try to find a place for them somewhere, but you know, you can't bet on everybody. So I just gave you guys that I think have sort of the best potential return for their odds.
Dave, I love it. And I'm glad you brought up Brooks and Bryson because really quickly, I thought I saw a great prop. And I don't know if you're big into prop. We like to have a little fun, get silly with props on this show just because it's fun. You know, you're a more serious guy. I'm sure you stay away from these. But I saw Will Brooks walk across Bryson's interview minus 2,000 for no, plus 700 for yes. Are you, are we touching that one?
How many units, Dave, how many units are we betting on that? That's a big unit bet.
I think that could be another one of those $10 bets because I don't want to be that guy.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
Know,
exactly.
And I would say that Brooks does not do it. You know, I mean, okay. He has nothing to gain for it. I mean, the dude is like, I got all this money from playing golf. He's got Jenna Sims. I mean, why would he jeopardize his reputation for what I would call stooping to Bryson's level? Maybe talk it through it. Thanks, guys. I'm going to max bet that.
All right. I love it. We're influencing. Well, I love it.
Hey,
Diamond Dave, great. You've been incredible. We're going to let you go. Now, listen, you came on the show. We are a football-centric podcast, so you got to come back. You got to come back during football season. I would let you and Dangles talk about your fellow Patriots fans, talk about your optimism about Cam Newton running the wing tee until Mac Jones takes over, but we can't do that. I know you probably got golf to play tomorrow, and we got some bets to make, but man.
I do, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we just can't thank you. Thank you enough, Diamond Dave, and we will look forward to talking to you come football season, my man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks a bunch for having me.
Diamond Dave, we appreciate it so much. Stay tuned, listeners. After the break, Dangles, Schaefer the Sharp, and a little cameo from Tony Squares making their U.S. Open picks next.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Perfect. Gamblers.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know. Know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Matthew Dangles, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crookston, missing our boy Tony Squares, but he has a pick for us, Dangles. Hey, what an interview with Diamond Dave. I forgot to give out his Twitter handle, folks. It is at Dave underscore Essler. That's E-S-S-L-E-R. I'm not sure about you, Dangs, but I feel smarter.
Absolutely, man. I feel like Dave gave out some really sharp picks. Anytime one of our sharps who comes on gives out a name or a bet that's already on my card, I feel like I'm going in the right direction, and that happened a couple of times here for me with our interview with Diamond Dave. So I look forward to having him back on.
Love his work over at Betting Predators with Sleepy and Hitman. That whole crew will definitely have him back for football season. What a cool guy, and I can't wait for him to get in the NFL season. But let's get into this, Dangs. I know I got some stuff circled. I know Dave piqued my interest with some bets. But I'm going to start out with a top 30. Dangs, I'm telling you, the man is disrespected. I don't understand. I don't understand how his odds are this low. Now, Diamond Dave had him at 51 to first round leader. I will sprinkle something on that. But listen, Jason Kokrak, I mean, good God, he is a premium putter, not putter, and he's playing some of the best golf in his career. And I think he's not being valued as a top 15, top 20 golfer based on his world ranking. I think he's in way better form than when Gary Woodland won this a couple years back at Pebble Beach. You can get him a top 30, Dangles. Not winning, a top 30. Not a top 20, a top 30. Jason Kokrak, plus 110, top 30. I'm going to lead us off with that bet. I love that bet.
I'm going to make my first bet. I'm also going to tail Diamond Dave with Lee Westwood at minus 120 to make the cut. How can you not bet on a guy who just married his girlfriend in Las Vegas? Oh, and she caddies for him too. Like Dave said, this guy has not a care in the world. He just signed his life away in marriage. He is completely and totally, I'm just like, if you're ready to sign up for that, then you are ready to sign up for anything. If I can handle marriage, then what the fuck is a golf tournament? Screw that. I say that as someone who of course is involved in the institution of marriage.
Same.
So I'm not throwing shade or anything like that.
No.
And I'm very happy with the fact that I signed my life away. But no, seriously, Lee Westwood minus 120 to make the cut again. He's been in every major that there is. He's always consistent. And the off the field stuff, or off the course stuff, I should say, just is the cherry on top. I'm absolutely tailing Diamond Dave minus 120, Lee Westwood to make the cut.
I'm going to just piggyback off that, Dang, because Diamond Dave also liked my bet, Sergio Garcia miscut at plus 130. I think this is a slam dunk. I loved it. I laid it. I bet it. I'm going to take Sergio Garcia to miss the cut at plus 130. I'm going to stay with the European Rider team. These nationality bets, we'll get to Tony Squares in a sec, but I love this one, guys. Paul Casey, who competed last year in California, the PGA Championship. He's got massive forearms, like forklifts, Dangles. You know what those are good for? Just muscling the ball out of the rough. He is a fantastic iron player. Paul Casey, we're going to go top three European, the classic nationality bet. Paul Casey, top three Euro, plus 110. I know you got some nationality bets, Dangs. Give it to me.
Let's go ahead and go for it. There are three, count them, three Italian golfers on this tour, two of whom have the last name Molinari. The best of them all is Francesco Molinari, and he is plus 120 to be the top Italian. I'm going to take the favorite for plus money in a field of three fucking guys because I feel like the numbers are there. Francesco Molinari, top three, or to be the top Italian at plus 120. Why not?
Dangles, this is incredible. I shit you not. This is not scripted. This is an organic podcast. We are not reading off a script. Would you believe, my friend, my good friend, Tony Squares in his first ever, I believe, in my time, appearance. In my appearance on this show is not with us. He sent me one. I count it one nationality bet. And would you believe he bet on the top Italian player? And the last name is not Molinari. Tony Squares, give me, quote, give me Guido or give me death. He bet
I love it
Guido Migazzazzi plus 175 for the top Italian. You can't even have a better segue than that, Dang. So that's unbelievable. This is world-class podcasting here. World-class podcasting. Mark it down wherever you can, boys and girls. Tony Squares, nationality, give me Guido or give me death. Top Italian plus 175. A little crossfire between Dangles and Tony. I can tell you, crossfire with Dangles, sometimes you lose some beer. I did last weekend. Let's run through a couple of our top 30s here, Dangles, or top 20s. I got three of them. I'm going to run them through real quick. Three top 20s for you. I'm going to start with top 20 Tony. I have to do it. As Diamond Dave said, I got to have some stake. I got to have some skin in the game on this guy, because if he doesn't come through for me, I'm going to kick my ass. Tony Finau has been an absolute machine on this course. He's minus 110. The course fits him so well. I'm going to bet him at minus 110 for top 20. Another guy we talked about, Mr. Fat Pat Reed. I mean, the guy is just a baller in majors. His comfort level is at all-time high. Tougher courses, tougher fields, tougher tournaments. Even money at top 20, like Diamond Dave. I'm not going to get greedy. And again, my boy Louis Oosthuizen is always, always around the top of the leaderboard in every major. He doesn't win, but man, he just piles up the top fives, top tens, top 20s. I'm going to bet him at a top 20, Louis Oosthuizen, plus 138. So I got Tony Finau, Fat Pat, Louis Oosthuizen, all top 20.
Let's take a look here. I'm going to tail Dave on another one here. Corey Connors plus 138 in the top 30. This guy, Canadian Corey Connors, has missed the cut three times. Just three times in the 2021 PGA Tour season. And he's got sprinkling finishes that include eighth, a couple of 17s, third, seventh, fourth. This guy is constantly finishing around the top. And when he does finish in double digits, it's like 20, 17, 24. This guy is almost a lock to make the top 30. I love him at plus 138 for the top 30. Let's run with this just for shits and gigs, right? Because I got a couple of bets here focused on Brooks and Bryson. We've got lots of drama going on between Brooks and Bryson, right? Obviously on Twitter, these guys don't like each other. But I'm going to go for a half unit each on Brooks and Bryson to be in the top 20 after round one. I know Dave said to shy away from some of the favorites in the round one because they want to wait for Sunday. They want to save their best game because they're playing 72 holes. They're not 18, but I feel like both of these guys are going to come out ripping the ball with fires under their asses because of everything that's been going on leading up to this. And they know. Now, they probably don't like each other, but they also know that this is a show. There's some theatrics going on to this. There is some add to the intrigue. There is some stoke the flames and make people wonder. And they know that, and it's good for their brand. So I think they're going to be coming out firing. I got a half unit on Brooks and Bryson. Brooks is plus 175, Bryson plus 164 to be in the top 20 after the first round.
Dangles, I'm not sure about the logic behind that bet. What I do know is if there was a little fire under their ass kind of pointing up towards their gooch and their under half of their testicles, they will not be in the top 20 after round one. However, I do like the fact that both these guys are going to go out and compete. But lastly, Diamond Dave, Xander Schauffele. This guy is my – he is the opposite of my unicorn. Every time I bet him, he just Fs me in the A. Thank you, Tony Squares. He F's me in the A.
I've bet him a couple of times in our golf bets over the last couple of majors, and he has also screwed me every time.
I'm right back in the top 10. I have to do it. Xander Schauffele, plus 160. His track record at the U.S. Open is impeccable. The course fits him. He is a horse for the course. I'm going Xander Schauffele, top 10, plus 160. And listen, you can pick out of a hat a handful of these winners in the top 10, top 15, top 20 in the world. I'm going to give you one. California kid playing in amazing form. How about Patrick Cantlay at 25-1? I'm not going to go with the Rahmers or the JTs or the Rorys or even the Bryson or the Brookses. I'm going Patrick Cantlay. That will be my winning bet, 25-1. I like him because he's not one of the top six, eight chalky, but he's good enough to be a 25-1. Patrick Cantlay to win. What do you got, Dangs?
I've got, I did mention I had another Brooks and a Bryson bet that I'm considering laying down. They're each plus 450 to be the top former winner. I might sprinkle a little bit on that as a top former winner, right? Like, I don't mind that number plus 450 for either of them. I might just do a half unit each on each of those and kind of try and spread my money out a little bit more. And wouldn't you know, Drew, my back up the Brinks truck bet, let's get right to it. Wouldn't you know, Xander Schauffele has also screwed me, as I mentioned several times, and yet I am going back to this guy. We did not discuss this beforehand. I also have him as a top 10 finisher, plus 160. He shot a minus 9 T2 on this course at the Farmers Insurance Open back in January. He knows this course well. He's played it recently. He's got 6 top 6 finishes on the tour this season. He's playing at the top of his form. He hasn't been able to get the win yet. I think I bet him to win in the Players' Championship. Or the Masters, I can't remember which. Whichever one I did, it bit me in the ass. I'm gonna expand my scope a little bit. My Brinks truck bet is also Xander Schauffele top 10 finish plus 160.
I love it, Dangles. I should have clarified. My backup the Brinks truck bet officially will be my man Jason Kokrak top 30 plus 110. That is my best bet of the week. Dangles, I'm not sure about you, but I can't wait to tee it up on Thursday. Metaphorically, of course.
It's going to be great.
I'm not sure about you, but I didn't qualify for the United States Open this year.
No. I just barely missed it in the qualifiers. Same. I was like two strokes off.
Same, yeah. Maybe next year. But hey, that's all we got.
Maybe next
that's
year.
All we got for the show, boys and girls. We are the West Coast Gamblers, a proud partner of the Evergreen Podcast Network. And as always, thank you for listening.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
The world's best-known investor and Wall Street expert, Warren Buffett, once said, "Wall Street is the only place that people ride to in a Rolls Royce to get advice from those who take the subway." Mr. Buffett's quote is remarkably accurate, but how many people would rather receive advice from him than someone simply guessing? Welcome to Buy, Hold, Sell, your single source for Wall Street knowledge and profitable guidance. Please join me, Todd Schoenberger, and fellow trader Tobin Smith, as well as host Veronica Dudo, for a podcast known to move the needle for investors. Tobin and I are seasoned Wall Street executives with deep investment experience, and we are prepared to share our advice to those who choose to listen. Download Buy, Hold, Sell today on the Evergreen Podcast Network or your favorite podcast channel.